and welcome to This Song, the podcast where artists talk about the songs that formed and transformed them. I'm your host, Elizabeth McQueen, and this week on This Song, we'll hear from singer, songwriter, and multi-instrumentalist Miles Francis. But before I get started, I want to remind you that this coming Friday, June 15th, KUTX, which is the radio station in Austin, Texas, where we make this podcast, well, we'll be celebrating our fifth birthday at Bass Concert Hall with a screening of High Fidelity on the big screen, followed by a Q&A with actor John Cusack. And I got to talk to John Cusack for this podcast. Like, I was super excited. I did hold it together, and you should check it out. You can find it, along with over 100 other This Song episodes, at KUTX.org or wherever you get your podcasts. And we are having lots of birthday celebrations in 2018, like we are celebrating all year long here at KUTX. And on July 14th, we'll be at Hogg Auditorium with Jamila Woods and Sarah Jaffe. And you can find out info on those other parties at KUTX.org/birthday. Now, to Miles Francis. He's a multi-instrumentalist and a singer and a songwriter out of New York who's played with a ton of people. Like, he toured with Will Butler of Arcade Fire, he played with Antibalas, and, like, for a long time, he was a sideman. But now he's struck out on his own. He has a 5-song EP out called Swimmers, and he just released a companion visual album that he made with filmmaker Charles Billet, and, like, every song has a video. And Swimmers, it's a cool collection of songs. Miles Francis is one of those guys who can play all the instruments. In fact, he wrote all the songs on the EP, played all the instruments on the recording, and he's not afraid to pull from all kinds of sources. R&B, electronic, rock, African rhythms, like, they all show up on Swimmers. I spoke to Miles during South by Southwest, and he told me about a couple of very different songs, both of which really helped him understand the kind of musician and songwriter he wanted to be.
I'm going to talk about two songs that both of them shaped me from different angles. One of which is a Prince song, Let's Pretend We're Married. To me, this is the most visceral Prince song. The performances are so loose and just sort of bubbling in this way that's, it just feels like you're there. He has his vocal performance, which throughout the song just totally escalates in a crazy way from a shy and lonely man. Just aggressive man by the end, and scary and weird and sexy. It does sort of have everything, all these Prince signatures in it. There's the drum machine, which he's sort of performing throughout. Even though it's a drum machine, it's not real drums, it's a Lindrum. He's still performing on it throughout the whole song and adding accents and adding elements in each section and manipulating it that way. And another moment is there's a bass fill that leads into the second chorus. That's, you know, it also speaks to me as far as, like, what, as a musician, what it is to play a fill in a song, what it is to sort of step out and show your little prowess for a second. So what? Come on, baby, let's. you know, it's easy to be taken for granted, you know, these little moments that are in a recorded song. But he, because he's playing everything, he chooses when to sort of step out as the bass player or to step out as the drummer, do a little fill. And he does it in these moments that just drive it into the next section, that it just drives the tension. It heightens it for a second and then it lets it down and releases. So the song could end at around 3 minutes in. Like, he gets through the verse, pre-chorus, chorus, verse, pre-chorus, chorus, little bridge, chorus. He gets through that, 3 minutes. Like, he could write a pop song and he nails it. But then it goes on for another few minutes and it just turns into this other sort of evil twin of the pop song around 3 minutes in. And what sort of signifies that is this little synth sound that he plays right at this moment, and it's a sound we haven't heard before in the song, and it's spooky and kind of kinky and it's so evocative, and it just says, like, okay, it's time, like, got that out of the way, let's get to it. He's not only using his lyrics and his voice to talk about what he's talking about. He uses synthesizers, he uses drum machines and the bass, and in these little moments to get across his feeling in his body that he's trying to get out. And to be able to do that through not just your voice is what was really special about him to me. And that just attention to those little details that make a song just puts you, gives you a color, gives you a vision of something, or makes you think of him, or makes you think of yourself, or makes you want to do something. Those little things all play into that.
Think that was another thing that you saw kind of in Prince in general, with someone who approached music in the same way you do, because it's a very different way to approach writing and recording, to do everything by yourself than to bring a band with you.
Yeah. Discovering Prince gave me the confidence to pursue, to take my own music and take it, or at least the music that I write and record by myself, which is a super private thing, to sort of take it from just something I do in my basement to, you know, something that deserves more than that, and to show people. Usually I would make a demo and then play it, bring it to a band, and the band would play the song I'd written, and it would take the shape of whatever band I was playing it with. And the song changes, but it sounds great because you're playing it with people and that feels good. But at a certain point I realized, I would listen to my demos and be like, man, I just like this and how this sounds. And not only how it sounds, but the feeling of it, the intention in it. And for me, that it's the most direct way to get to a song now is if I'm down in my studio and I'm spending hours and hours just trying to get at this song, and I'm just quickly making these production decisions and editing decisions and replaying something or notching something over, timing wise, you know, all these little decisions and little like performance tidbits that all becomes part of what eventually is this song. It's and that's what I love, is like, I always call it like the capital S song, like the almighty song, because for any musician, that's the goal when you're playing with an artist, if you're backing somebody up or if you're the artist, you're playing the song, and that is the sacred thing.
The other first song that changed Miles' life in a serious way was the Beach Boys' Don't Talk, Put Your Head on My Shoulder. And like I said earlier, that is a very different song from Let's Pretend We're Married, which, by the way, gets real dirty at the end. If you want to listen to it, just make sure there are no, like, kids around if you want to listen to the 7-minute version. But anyway, very different song than Don't Talk, Put Your Head on My Shoulder. But I see similarities, mostly in their creators, because, you know, Prince, he wrote and recorded everything himself. And Brian Wilson, well, he may not have played all the instruments on Beach Boys recordings, and especially Pet Sounds, but, like, he was famous for having a serious, overarching vision for his work and making sure that that vision was carried out in the recording studio.
He had a band. He would hire musicians and he would write their parts and have them perform it in the studio. But this song in particular is one of the more vulnerable ones, because first of all there's no backing vocals. It's just him singing, and that it's just him and the song he arranged for the band to play. It's super simple like that. I can hear so much in your sound, and I can see so much in your eyes. There are words we both could say. The second verse, he says, being here with you feels so right. We could live forever tonight. Let's not think about tomorrow. That sentiment I've felt so many times, where I'm just with somebody and I'm simultaneously thinking, oh, I just wish I could do this forever. I wish I could just be here forever. But you can't, and nobody is anywhere forever. And in this song in particular, talk about using an arrangement to evoke the feeling of a song. Midway through, after the second chorus, he says, listen, 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 listen. I get chills thinking about it, because the strings come in and it's sort of like whoever he's been talking to is interjecting and like, but this, but everything's wrong, blah, 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 blah. And then the timpani rolls into this forceful, just, no, just don't talk, put the worries aside, let's just be here. And he uses music there to say something. It's... For me, I heard this song way younger than when I heard Prince, and this song just it's sort of like the seed for me. It's like the start here, this song. If you want to make music that where you're writing lyrics for people, you're writing lyrics that are about love, you're just writing songs in general, this is a starting point, because it's so simple, and whether it's the drummer who's just hitting a ride cymbal through the whole song on quarter notes, or whether it's where the strings enter midway through the song to like bolster the second chorus, like those little decisions beneath the actual lyrics, the actual melody, which is what we hear first and what we latch onto, and that all has its own meaning. All these things working in synergy. This like ball of tension and release, it's just bubbling, and that is what it's all about for me.
Thinking about how interested Miles is in all the musical and lyrical ways an artist can convey a feeling, I wondered, was there a feeling that he tried to convey in his EP, Swimmers?
I didn't have a overarching feeling for all the songs that I was trying to get out. This EP, it was just a outpouring for me. And I didn't realize it until after I had made it that I was like, oh, I was going through something. I'm thankful for that because it was organic and natural for me to make these songs. But I will say that it looking back on the songs, they're about change. They're about new relationships and love and how that uncovers all these things for us to, you know, once we have to relate to somebody else and have somebody else see us, then it's like you start seeing things about yourself, whether it's jealousy or whatever it is. That's what's in these songs. I'd say love at the core, but also not only when relating to somebody else, but yourself too. Just sort of, yeah. For me, when I make songs, I'm reckoning with myself. It's very like, yes, it may be about somebody or something that somebody has done to me or something, but the songs are me sort of talking to myself, telling myself, don't talk. Put your head on your shoulder. All the things that I want to do with me hold me back from doing the things I want to do. You're so lucky. And this is You're a Star from Miles Francis' EP and visual album Swimmers. And I really enjoyed talking to him for this podcast. It felt like so many conversations with my friends who are musicians, where we sit around and we get so granular about what we love about music, like what we think about why things work. I mean, I too regularly fall in love with bass fills and synth lines, and like I will still listen to all of Prince's Little Red Corvette just to hear these two chords that the organ hits just before the fade. Like those moments, they're as magical and as impactful as the big ideas. Or maybe all those moments together, maybe they help us understand the big ideas. But I just really like talking to Miles. Miles Francis will be on tour. I will post a link to his tour dates on the show notes page for this episode. And I'll also post a link to Swimmers, both the EP and the visual album, so you too can get to know more about Miles Francis. And that's it. You have come to the end of another episode of This Song. This Song is a production of 98.9 in Austin, Texas. This episode was produced by Art Levy and me, Elizabeth McQueen. Kelly Seal is our excellent intern, and thanks to Deidre Gott and Peter Babb and Todd Callahan for all they do for this podcast. And it is true, our theme song is My Hout by Austin's own Hard Proof. Right on. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next time.